Wednesday, April 24th, 2019, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another day of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. We have now made it halfway through the week, and happy birthday to a quarterback that you just might have forgotten. Because we need to say happy birthday to a quarterback that led the Los Angeles Rams to the Super Bowl. No, not talking about Kurt Warner. And no, I'm not talking about Jared Goff. But Vince Ferragamo was born on April 24th, 1954 in Torrance, California. And he attended high school in Los Angeles at Phineas Banning. He signed to go to Cal Berkeley for school. He played two seasons there. But then he ended up transferring to Nebraska and finishing off his college career as a Cornhusker. He would be drafted in the fourth round of the 1977 NFL draft by the Los Angeles Rams. And in 1979, when starting quarterback Pat Hayden broke his finger, Vince Ferragamo stepped in and somehow led the Rams to Super Bowl 14. Yes, I know, they lost to the Steelers that year, but Ferragamo returned in 1980 and he actually threw 30 touchdowns that year. But then, in 1981, he had a contract dispute with Rams ownership, so he just decided he would go play in Canada instead. He played the 1981 season for the Montreal Alouettes, and then came back to the Rams in 1982, and bizarrely, in December of that year, he threw for over 500 yards in a game against the Chicago Bears, which at the time was the second highest mark for passing yards in a game in league history, behind former Ram Norm Van Brocklin. Vince Ferragamo would go on to play in the NFL until 1986, and these days, apparently he is running a real estate company in Orange County, but happy birthday to one Vince Ferragamo, a guy you might have forgotten. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, maybe tell us your favorite forgotten NFL player. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at dailydosesports. Maybe you've got some feedback for the show. Maybe you have a suggestion for us here. Maybe you need a little bit of advice on a certain subject. Reach out to us. We would love to hear what it is you have to say. Also, be sure to stop by tpublic.com. Make sure you pick up some Daily Dose gear that we do have over there. We've got Daily Dose iTeam shirts over there. Got a couple of different styles you can go with. We've got sweatshirts. We've got hoodies. We've got laptop covers, coffee mugs. Whatever it is that you need, stop by tpublic.com. Just search Daily Dose and scroll down until you see our logo, and there you will find a number of Daily Dose items that you can pick up. Hey, today on the show, we've got a few stories coming out in the world of sports we definitely need to cover, but then we are going to be continuing to get you ready for the NFL draft that begins tomorrow. Yes, Thursday night, the first round of the NFL draft is already going to be here. And you know, there are a few player names out there that you should be aware of. Going to get to those in just a few minutes. But first, let's start off in the NBA, where in those NBA playoffs, we did see a few interesting games last night. The Toronto Raptors did finally knock out the Orlando Magic in five games. They have now advanced. The Philadelphia 76ers did finally end that chippy series with the Brooklyn Nets. They closed them out in another chippy fifth game as well. And then my hometown Denver Nuggets, I don't know, they're starting to make me think maybe they have learned a couple of lessons. Hey, they're very talented. They're very deep, but they're also inexperienced. They're also immature, and sometimes they're kind of dumb. It seems like, though, in games four and games five, they have started to understand that if they are patient, if they will wait, if they will work a little bit against the San Antonio Spurs, hey, they can get all the layups they want. And as the Golden State Warriors have taught us, if you're getting all the layups you want, then eventually you're going to get some open outside shots and you can knock those down. And the Denver Nuggets are starting to play that way a little bit. We saw it in games four and five now. Last night, the Denver Nuggets blow out the San Antonio Spurs by 30 and they take a 3-2 lead. Game six will be in San Antonio, but now they do have that cushion of being able to come back for game seven back in Denver. But I am looking at the Denver Nuggets and saying, hey, maybe this young team finally has learned a couple of lessons. Maybe they're starting to mature just a little bit. I'm not saying they can go much further, but maybe they can at least get past the Spurs and the first round. You know, we do have a few stories coming out in the NFL. The Seattle Seahawks seem like they are already looking to clear up some cap space after giving quarterback Russell Wilson that huge deal last week. Yesterday, the Seahawks trade defensive end Frank Clark to Kansas City, but I will give them this. They might have cleared some cap space. They also got a really good deal. The Kansas City Chiefs gave them their first round pick this year, and then they also gave them their second round pick next year. Really? You got a 1 and a 2 for Frank Clark? That's more than the Eagles got for Nick Foles. That's a pretty good deal. Then the Kansas City Chiefs agreed with Clark on, get this, a 5-year deal worth over $105 million. That is a ton of money. Hey, Frank Clark's good. I like his game a lot. He can help that Kansas City defense. But 5 years and $105 million? Oh, they better go from worst to first with that kind of money. Think about this for 1 second. The Kansas City Chiefs let Dee Ford, Eric Berry, and Justin Houston all walk, and they signed Frank Clark for more than those three would have gotten combined. That's a ton of money. That is more money than what Trey Flowers got from Detroit. Is Frank Clark that good? That is more money than Antonio Brown got from the Oakland Raiders. That is more than Le'Veon Bell got from the New York Jets. So the Chiefs defense is all fixed now, right? Yeah, I doubt it. They still have a number of holes to fill, and they just spent a ton of money on one guy. Kind of an interesting move for the Kansas City Chiefs. That seems like a really, really expensive pass rusher they just got. 2 draft picks and a ton of money. We'll see if Kansas City's defense makes up as much ground as I know they are hoping it will. Also, former New York Giants wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. went on a tweeting spree on Monday night, and he took exception to the idea that he is somehow a cancer in the locker room. He also expressed discontent with New York Giants general manager Dave Gettleman and with head coach Pat Shurmur. Now, Beckham initially responded to a headline by Hot New Hip Hop that suggested Gettleman claims there was a culture problem, and that is what led to the trade that sent Beckham to the Cleveland Browns last month. The Giants, in return, received first and third round picks, and they also got safety Jabril Peppers. Gettleman said recently in a column that the Giants had a culture problem, and he thought that has since changed because when asked about it, he said, not anymore. Now, Beckham seemed to think that was a specific swipe at him because of some of the things he's been involved in when he was up at New York. He started defending himself on Twitter after opening the floor when one Twitter post called him out. Here's what they had to say. Stop crying, you loser. There's no reason to go after a Class A franchise because you were a locker room cancer. And they realized they needed to change the culture. Grow up and show a little maturity for the first time in your career. Hashtag overrated. Yeah, Beckham did not take too kindly to that. He responded with this. Ask any one of my teammates of who I was as a teammate and a man and a person. Yes, I'm cancer to a place that's okay with losing because I want to win that bad. You're absolutely correct. Well, okay. I mean, you can say this was all about winning or losing, but we have evidence that suggests otherwise. You were doing some dumb things. You were acting like a fool a lot of times and being selfish a lot of times. So I'm not sure it was just about winning and losing. But Beckham went on to say that he had actually begged the team to travel with them when he was injured, but that head coach Pat Shurmur told him he was not allowed to. Now, I don't know if I completely believe that. But then it's going to get a little crazier because Beckham was asked by a person on Twitter what he is looking forward to the most in Cleveland. Here is what Beckham had to say. A new beginning and media that isn't gonna have or look for a story of a sneeze or blow my nose wrong. I'm looking forward to what God has in store for me. I'm looking forward to Jarvis Landry and a fresh start. Let's think about that statement for just 1 second. Of all the things you could say you are looking forward to in Cleveland, we're gonna win games, we wanna win titles, get to play with better teammates, get to play with apparently better coaches, for better management, for better fans. All of the things you could say, you talk about the media looking for a story of a sneeze or blowing your nose wrong. Dude could not put together a sentence without talking about his nose and things going in or out of that nose.
What kind of snow blowing you get us mixed up with?
Huh. I mean, we all know what we saw on that video with the girl and the pizza and the drinks and the big tray of white powder, right? Do we really need to be talking about Odell Beckham's nose? That's really the biggest thing you're looking forward to in Cleveland? Come on, Odell Beckham Jr. You don't need to bring your nose into this. We don't need to bring things that might go, I don't know, up your nose at a really fast rate into this. You need to focus on football. Focus on being a better teammate. Focus on winning games. Focus on yourself, not on what is going on around you. And for God's sake, leave the kicking net out of the entire situation. Doesn't that just kind of strike you as a guy that might not be dealing with things in an accurate way? Maybe someone that, I don't know, is using some sort of weird substance when he's attacking a field goal net? Come on, Beckham, be smarter than that. Okay, coming back, the 2019 NFL Draft does begin tomorrow night in Nashville, Tennessee. And yesterday, we took a look at some of the biggest names on the list, some of the top players on the list, some of the guys that when we look at the draft, they are probably going to be going in the top of the first round. But what if you're watching the draft this weekend and your team selects a name that maybe you don't recognize? When we come back, we are going to be discussing some of the best under-the-radar players that are out there. Hey, if you hear these names called for your favorite team, trust me on this, it will not be a bad thing. Hey, just a quick reminder that if you have any shopping you need to do, maybe you have a birthday coming in the month of May, and don't forget about Mother's Day in the month of May. Maybe you just want to buy something for yourself. You might as well head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles that feature your favorite TV shows, your favorite movies, and your favorite video games. May's Loot Crate theme is now out, and it is called Nemesis. Dark forces are gathering in this month's crate. That's right. Your nemesis is here. Shake your fist dramatically at a collection of villainous pop culture gear featuring nefarious ne'er-to-do-wells. May's Loot Crate theme features items from Jaws, Ghostbusters, and many other franchises. But if those franchises maybe don't interest you, remember, you can always go over to Loot Crate. You can choose from a number of different crates. And if you have a specific franchise in mind, trust me, they probably have a crate for that franchise. You can also order a monthly subscription of crates that will arrive in your mailbox every single month, and you can always skip months if you don't like what's coming. Or you can just order individual items from whatever franchise you want, and trust me, they have just about any franchise you can think of. But the best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, just make sure you type Daily Dose in the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order just as a little thank you for tuning in to the Daily Dose. So yesterday, we discussed some of the biggest names on the NFL draft boards this year, but you know that every single year, there are those small school guys. We're not as familiar with their names. They're not on TV every weekend. We don't really know their story yet, because during college football season, you're kind of watching the big programs. You're watching the big names, and you get used to those names. But I mean, think of some of the all-time greats that were a little bit under the radar, that maybe went to the smaller schools. They weren't at the big-time blue-blood universities. I mean, Jerry Rice came out of Mississippi Valley State. Walter Payton played his college football at Jackson State. And Deacon Jones went to Mississippi Vocational School. There are diamonds lurking out there, but you have to be willing to dig just a little bit. Some of these small school players, and I know they've gone up against small-time competition, sometimes they are some really talented players. And you know what else they have? A lot of times they come into your camp and they've got a chip on their shoulder. Oh, you think I'm small time? I'm going to outwork you. I'm going to out-hustle you. When you're taking some time off, I'm going to be in the weight room. And sometimes these small school guys, they come in and they make a name for themselves. This year is not going to be any different, because we have a number of smaller school guys that absolutely can compete for a roster spot. So if you hear your team draft one of these guys on our list today, don't be depressed. Don't be looking at it and saying, I don't know, they drafted some small school guy. I've never even heard of him. Probably a wasted pick. Maybe not. You might have just gotten a steal. Here are a couple of under-the-radar guys that should definitely be on your radar because they just might end up making your team. First kid up, and this kid is going to need some work, but he is such an amazing athlete. Then in the right situation, he is going to show a ton of improvement because Rock Ya Sin wasn't highly recruited coming out of high school. So he signed with an FCS school. He actually signed with Presbyterian College, but eventually he would transfer into Temple as a grad student. Now, if you remember, yes, Temple's a little bit small, but Temple had a pretty solid defense and Rock Ya Sin actually helped that defense. He was a first team All-American Athletic Conference selection as a senior. He led Temple with 12 pass breakups and had 47 tackles, with two of those going for loss. He also had two interceptions. Now, Rock Ya Sin is a cornerback, and he's going to need some work on his technique because he just hasn't had the coaching that some of the bigger name kids have had. But he's got some really good tools to work with. You're going to see improvement from him over the long haul. Some of the guys from the bigger schools, I hate to say, they're almost at their ceiling already. A guy like Rock Ya Sin, he hasn't even reached his full potential yet. Let's wait and see where he ends up being because it just might end up being very, very good. Another guy that's going to be under your radar a little bit. You know, we all know that this past year, Lane Kiffin's Florida Atlantic team, yeah, they didn't back up all of Kiffin's talk. Lane Kiffin likes to go out, kind of needle people, kind of poke people, kind of act like, hey, we're Florida Atlantic and we're going to come out and shock some people. Yeah, last year, Lane acted like his Owls might come out and surprise some teams, but they really didn't surprise anyone. They went 5-7 and they got thumped by all of the big dogs on their schedule. But one bright spot Florida Atlantic did have was the play of undersized running back Devin Singletary. Now you look at him and you say there's no way. He's just too small of a guy. He's 5'7 and he's just barely over 200 pounds, but he did earn first team all-conference honors because he led the league with 261 carries for over 1,300 yards. That is over 5 yards every time he carried the football. And here's a stat that might be even more impressive. He had 22 touchdowns on the ground. Now, he may fall later in the draft because he didn't have a great showing at the combine. And I don't know, maybe it just was too much for him. Maybe he wasn't ready. Maybe he didn't prepare like he should have. But that could actually end up being a good thing because your team might be able to steal Devin Singletary late. And again, he's going to have that huge chip on his shoulder when he comes in because maybe he didn't get selected as early as he would have liked to. But he is so explosive. And for being a small guy, Devin Singletary is extremely tough to bring down for just one tackler. He's always breaking tackles. There is no question Devin Singletary can play in the NFL. If you are in need of a running back, he might be a guy that your team could steal. Now, we talked yesterday and we discussed how deep of a draft this is for defensive linemen. There are just a ton of them. And you don't win in the NFL if you're not tough up front. So while Louisiana Tech isn't exactly a football factory, they have a contribution to our list because pass rusher Jalen Ferguson, he could end up being a steal. Dude is 6'5", he's 271 pounds, and he racked up 45 career sacks for the Bulldogs. So he can definitely get to the passer. Here's a crazy stat for you. Nearly 30% of his tackles while at Louisiana Tech were for a loss. That's amazing. One out of every three times he made a tackle, he tackled the ball carrier behind the line of scrimmage. That's pretty incredible. Ferguson ended his career with an Associated Press third team All-American. He led the nation with 17.5 sacks and he ranked in the top five with 26 tackles for loss. At the end of the year, he had 64 tackles, 3 pass breakups, and 2 forced fumbles. Hey, every team in the NFL needs a pass rusher. You always need pass rushers. With the league the way that it is right now, you have to be able to put pressure on the opposing quarterback or you're going to find yourself playing from behind. Jalen Ferguson might be from Louisiana Tech, but he could be a very good value because the one thing he knows how to do, he knows how to get to opposing quarterbacks. Not a big name guy, didn't go to a huge school, not a blue blood kind of player, but he might end up being a very valuable player. Keep an eye on where Jalen Ferguson ends up. Our next under the radar player, has actually got some blue blood, but it's just not where he ended up. Because our next player is a cousin of Packers all-time great Herb Adderley. But Nasir Adderley is trying to make a name for himself. Now, not only does Nasir Adderley play defensive back like his more famous cousin did, he mostly played safety. We'll see where he ends up in the NFL. But he also has been a contributor on special teams. And we know a lot of times when these NFL teams are getting these young guys, they bring you in and they say, okay, what position do you play? Well, I play wide receiver. I play defensive back. I play corner. Okay, well, can you contribute on special teams? No, that's not really what I do. Yeah, then we don't have a spot for you. Well, Nasir Adderley, he did play on special teams, and that might help him at least get his foot in the door. In his final season at Delaware, Adderley was a second-team FCS All-American. He was a first-team All-Conference player. He led the team with 4 interceptions. He had 7 pass breakups, along with 87 tackles. Now, I like that tackles number more than the other numbers, because it tells me, even though he was a safety, he would come up and make plays against the run. But he also returned 5 kickoffs for a nearly 30-yard average. He even took one of those kickoffs back for a touchdown. Now, like I said, he was primarily a safety at Delaware. I think he'll probably need to develop a lot better instincts to play that position at the NFL, but we could see a team draft him and maybe plug him in as a corner and say, until you start to understand the game, until you get up to speed, let's let you use your athleticism. Let's let you use your speed, your quickness, and just play corner, and maybe you grow back into that safety position. At this level, he might struggle a little at the safety, but he is athletic enough to play corner, and he could probably step in right away and do that just because he's so skilled athletically. Keep an eye on Nasir Adderley. He could end up following in his cousin's footsteps and make an NFL roster. Our next guy that is probably a little bit below your radar, and he's going to get talked down when you hear his name called, because they're going to talk about the level of competition he faced, because he went to a little school. He went to Alabama State. And I get it. But you can't deny the athletic ability of Titus Howard. Titus Howard is a 6'5", 322-pound offensive tackle. Good-sized kid. I know, little school, Alabama State, but that is a large kid. But get this. Titus Howard was a high school quarterback, and he was a basketball star. So you know this isn't some big lumbering offensive lineman. This is a guy with some athletic ability. This is a guy that can move his feet a little bit. And while they're going to talk down his competition that he faced at Alabama State, and again, I get that, he had one of the best games of his career against the Auburn Tigers. We know Auburn's defensive front was one of the best in college football this last year. So you can try to act like he didn't face anyone, and I understand that. But when he faced Auburn, he showed really, really well. Now, he'll probably be better off as a right tackle instead of on the left side where he played in college. And he's going to definitely need some more coaching on his technique. Or, I don't know, at the very least, get a stern talking to from Sandra Bullock, and she'll explain to him that he needs to protect his quarterback in case he is just so completely clueless about that goal. Maybe Sandra can help him. But Titus Howard is such a smooth, athletic big man, he can excel in both the pass game and the run game. I will not be surprised if he is taken in the top 3 rounds. Despite the fact that he did play for that little school, Howard is good enough to have a long career in the NFL. And you know, it's funny. Sometimes we look at these little schools and we say, well, he just wasn't good enough to play at the big schools. That's not necessarily the case. There are so many factors that go with some of these guys going to smaller schools. It might have been they didn't have the grades. It might have been they didn't really blossom physically or athletically until they got a little bit older. It might be something in their personal life that they just didn't get into the bigger school. But the line between some of these little schools and some of these big schools is not nearly as big as you'd think. It's not nearly that wide. Sometimes it is a very fine line. This guy probably could have gone and played big-time college football. He ended up at Alabama State, but don't think he can't play at the NFL. You know, the Central Michigan Chippewas have kind of made that low-key name for themselves lately. Remember, they had that win over top 25 Oklahoma State 2 years ago, and they have gone to bowl games for the past 5 seasons. But it's not like we really know any of the players coming out of Central Michigan, right? But I'm telling you, cornerback Sean Bunting, he just might change that this year, because we could see Sean Bunting drafted in the first 3 rounds. Bunting received Central Michigan's Defensive Player of the Year award. He had 37 tackles. Three of those were for loss. He had two interceptions, and he forced two fumbles this past year. When he went to the combine, dude put up a vertical jump of nearly 42 inches. So you know, as a corner, when the football's in the air, yeah, he can bring it down. He did also run a 4.42 in the 40. So dude can fly. He might not end up being a day one starter, but he should be able to battle for a spot in a nickel or a dime situation right away, just on his raw skills alone. Let alone when he gets some coaching and kind of gets up to speed, Sean Bunting is definitely a prospect you're going to want to keep an eye on. Our next under-the-radar player, you're going to look at him and you're just going to say the same thing a lot of NFL scouts are going to say. He's too short. He's too small. There's no way he can play at this level. But Massachusetts wide receiver Andy Isabella, he has been hearing those same things his entire life. But this kid's a player. And when I tell you he's fast, I mean he is blazing fast. How fast? In high school, Andy Isabella won the 100 and 200 by beating Cleveland Browns cornerback Denzel Ward. Isabella ran a 4.31 at the NFL Combine this year. And he's not just a track guy. As a senior at Massachusetts, he led all of FBS with over 140 receiving yards average per game. That is nearly 17 yards per catch. He ranked near the top with over 100 receptions. He also had 13 touchdowns in just 12 games. Isabella did also run the ball a little bit. He had 11 carries for nearly 80 yards and he had a touchdown. And he was a very solid punt returner. This kid, Andy Isabella out of Massachusetts, you may have never heard the name, but he is slippery. He's so fast. And I know, again, everyone's going to say, well, yeah, he did it against FCS competition. But don't forget this. Andy Isabella had 15 catches for 219 yards and two touchdowns against the Georgia Bulldogs. That's not small-time competition. This kid can play football, and he hits his top speed in a short amount of time. Hey, if his name gets called for your team, you should be excited because this kid is electric to watch. Our next kid up, and maybe Memphis isn't the smallest school because, I mean, it is an FBS school, right? But it's not like we look at Memphis as this hotbed of NFL draft prospects. But running back Darrell Henderson, he has a legitimate chance to be an NFL running back despite the fact he doesn't really have that NFL prototypical running back size. He's just 5'8". He's maybe 210 pounds, but this kid is a home run hitter. He was an Associated Press first team All-American this past year. He had over 1,900 rushing yards. He had 22 touchdowns, but here's the crazy part. He only had 214 carries. So he basically averaged over 9 yards every single carry. He's also a very dangerous back in the passing game. In this past season at Memphis, he caught 19 passes for 295 yards. Again, that's over 15 yards per catch. Yes, he did do it in a smaller conference, and I'm not sure if he'll really be an every down kind of back, but just those results, just the fact that he can put up a big play every single time he touches the football, yeah, it would be kind of tempting to take Darrell Henderson if he is available later in the draft. If your team already has a solid starting running back, this might be a guy that could step in and spell him for a play or two, and be absolutely electric when he does get his chance in the game. We'll keep an eye on where he ends up. You know, like we talked about earlier, this is the year of the defensive lineman, and we have one more that could be available in later rounds, which could make him a steal, because Kalen Saunders played his college football at Western Illinois, so he's not going to be getting the covers that other guys are going to get. But Kalen Saunders might be a really good value. He's 6 foot, he's 324 pounds, and he proved to be really, really tough to block because he moves really well for a short, squatty guy. During his week at the Senior Bowl, he proved to be very unblockable. And remember, that is against some of the top competition in the country. Now, he's probably going to be a better fit in a 4-3 scheme. Not sure if he could really fight off two blockers. But in his final season at Western Illinois, he made 72 tackles. He had 6.5 sacks. And remember, that's from the interior of the defensive line, not coming off the edge. Kalen Saunders could be a very good defensive lineman for your NFL team. Okay, so we have one final under-the-radar player, and I could see him ending up here in Denver with my Broncos. Kind of concerns me a little bit, but he does have an upside because he is a quarterback and he is 6'7", and we know John Elway loves him some tall quarterbacks. I honestly think John Elway looks at these guys and just says, okay, you're a quarterback, you're a quarterback, you're a quarterback. I'm not really going to look at any of your tape. How tall are you guys? Oh, tallest guy? Yeah, you're my quarterback. I don't know why he does it that way, but that seems to be what he does. Here is the catch. Buffalo quarterback Tyree Jackson, he might be able to play a little bit, which would be a little different for John Elway if he actually took a guy, you know, that could play the game. And I don't know, maybe that'll just scare Elway off. But Jackson was the MAC Offensive Player of the Year last year. He started all 14 games. He threw for over 3,000 yards and 28 touchdowns, and he only had 12 interceptions. He did also score 7 different times as a runner. So this kid has a big arm. And obviously, at 6'7", he's a big dude. He's going to have to work on his accuracy. He's going to have to learn how to pass in the pro game. But if he could improve a little bit, he could maybe sit behind a veteran quarterback, learn the game, and eventually work his way into being a starter. Might take him a few years to grow into it. But Tyree Jackson out of Buffalo, he may end up being a quarterback that would be worth developing down the road. I know we look at so many draft prospects and we get all their measurables. We get their height, we get their weight, we get their 40 time, how much they can lift, their high jump, but there's no measurement for how hard a kid is going to work. There's not really even a measurement for their football IQ. I know we think that bigger school kids are better prepared for the pros, and sometimes they are in their skills. But again, these small school kids, they've been told again and again they can't make it. And so many of them have not even come close to reaching their ceiling yet. Sometimes the smaller school kids end up developing more determination. Sometimes they end up being harder workers. And sometimes they end up being better leaders because they had to do that at their schools. Hey, if you hear some of these names called this weekend, it could be a very, very good thing for your favorite football team. Hey, tomorrow on the Daily Dose, we will, of course, be bringing you the latest and greatest in the world of sports news. But with the NFL draft starting tomorrow night, yeah, I think we're going to do it. I think we're going to have to bring you our 2019 Daily Dose NFL mock draft. We are going to let you know who we think is going to go with those first 10 picks of the NFL draft. That way, when you watch the draft, you already know what's going to happen. We'll get you ready for that tomorrow. Hey, I have to say thank you all so much for listening to and for sharing the show. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. I have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a great Wednesday.